Calling all my friends from all corners of the internet, I'm here to tell you about Sarah Bauer Boutique. In the virtual aisles of shopping Sarah Bauer Boutique, you are not just browsing through clothes, you're exploring a world of self-expression and self-love. You click, you browse, you discover the pieces that resonate with your unique vibe and individuality. My online boutique is more than just a website. It's a celebration of self-love. It's about feeling confident, radiant, and utterly comfortable in your own skin. Every outfit you find there is a reminder that you are worthy and beautiful, and you deserve to wrap yourself in it every single day. So grab your device, visit Sarah Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, boutique.com, and indulge in a joy of self-love through fashion. Let's redefine online shopping together, making it a delightful, powerful experience, because you deserve nothing but the best. Remember to give them a reason to stare from Sarah Bauer Boutique. Oh my gosh, welcome to another episode of Loving Yourself Completely. Holy moly, my week is insane. Right now, I am just completely avoiding all of my work and everything I need to do. I have 26 text messages, about 60 some orders to fill, and I'm going, okay, I'll get it done, but I need to step back. And that's what I'm doing. I'm stepping back. I'm recording this episode and I'm going, okay, it can wait. I don't have to go to the post office till tomorrow. So I'm going to be a last minute girl. It's beautiful and sunny out. So I have wanted to go outside and get some fresh air. My anxiety has been so high the past 3 days. I've actually had to revert back to, you know, using my everyday steps that I was using for so long. Again, and I had mentioned it to my husband the other day. He goes, are you joking right now? Like, this is, and he was so kind about it. But at the same time, he's like, are you serious? Like, you know, our son's birthday party is coming up this weekend. We have holiday stuff. You know, you have your family stuff. Holidays are hard. I don't even care who you are. I don't care how, you know, great you get along with your family or how little of plans you have or how you do it your own way. They're hard. They're stressful. You're constantly trying to make sure you have everything done. You don't leave anybody out. And also you battle back and forth with so many things that we discussed last week. If you struggle with family and friends this time of year, or if you struggle with your own, you know, mental health this time of year, or you're reminded of people who aren't here this time of year, so many things. And my anxiety and panic attacks have been really high. I've been right at a bay of not having them, but feeling in the moments that doom. And I go, oh no, okay, so here's what we're doing, Sarah. We have to find ways to back out of this. We have to reverse. We can't get lost in it. I didn't even want to get ready the last couple of days. I was like trying to do photos for my boutique the other day and I had my hair up in a bun and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Like, I'm taking a picture, this adorable sweater. I barely wanted to do my hair and makeup. I'm putting filters on pictures because I look exhausted and I lost my self-care. I was losing it for a couple of days and I'm still struggling. Today I did. I forced myself to get ready and do my hair and do my makeup and go outside, take a walk, do things that are normal to me, but that my mental health likes to take away. First thing to take away is like, you don't want to do your makeup, actually. You don't want to do your hair, actually. Why would you take a picture? Because you actually look like shit. What are you doing? You've slept 4 hours this week. So I have to fight the voices that aren't always there. And that's a really big one, I think, with today's episode. These voices aren't always there. So why do we make them so common when they appear, you know, for a couple days of the month, maybe? And even with social media stuff and the impact on individuals dealing with anxiety and depression on social media is huge this time of year, thinking you're not good enough, you're not doing well enough. And all of a sudden, you're not enough this time of year seeing social media things. And it's such bullshit. Like, let's just say it, you know, everybody loves to fun social media stuff and put out their gorgeous family pictures. I do it too. I love doing that stuff. But that's not the reality, and we have to be able to separate that. I can look at a beautiful family picture and know that that mom probably scolded those children 10 times before that perfect photo was taken. And we have to be able to separate that. We have to know, oh, that beautiful kitchen that woman is cleaning on TikTok. Wow, like off in the corner over there, there's probably a huge hoarding nest of things that she shoved out of the way to make this video, you know? So it is, you have to be able to separate those things. And during the holiday seasons, social media often bombards us with these like just not realistic depictions of festive decorations. And like I said, the perfect family photos. And I just want to talk about how these posts can contribute to so many feelings of not feeling, you know, adequate enough. And especially when you're already struggling with anxiety and depression, it can be really hard. So I just want to talk about that. I want to talk about those picture-perfect holiday scenes shared all over the place that can create these unrealistic expectations and make so many of us feel pressured to match these images and intensifying our already struggling seasons with mental health. And as we compare our own experiences, these flawless celebrations that others are having, we're wondering why we're not good enough when all in reality, that split second of a photo is not what you can compare your whole life to. So that's really what I want to talk about today. You can't compare to that. And you have to constantly be checking in on yourself going, okay, am I on social media because I enjoy seeing these things and I'm not taking it personal to my life? That's where you have to separate the two. You have to separate the reality and the dream. You know, wake up. This is not real. That's not what reality is for people. And a lot of people get hateful, jealous, spiteful. They think, oh, they're doing this to me. They're posting that for me to see. They're looking this way because I did this and I blah, 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 blah. You are feeding into a false sense of reality because that person that you're obsessed with, when's the last time you've seen them in person? When's the last time you spoke to them on the phone? When's the last time you guys had lunch together? You cannot constantly feel attacked or be the one that's comparing to the perfection of people you don't personally know. Okay? So another common comparison trap around the holidays obviously involves gift giving, but how can the act of comparing, you know, this person's gift exchange experience on social media impact you in a huge way? And the answer is seeing such an extravagant gift at gift exchanges or on social media, or you see, you know, the kids opening up gifts, especially around the holidays, if certain people can't afford similar presents, it's essential to remember that the value of the gift is not with money. And it's the genuine connection that's going to matter in the long run. Because I promise you, I can't tell you one gift I ever received at Christmas time. Maybe I got a portable DVD player one time. And I remembered it because it was so weird that I got that. I'm like, what is this? I didn't know what it was really. And I was so young. And it was like the first portable DVD player with like a little screen. I'm like, what do I do with this? Do I like take it on the bus in the morning? I didn't understand it. That was about the one gift I remember. But what matters the most, of course, is the time shared together during the holidays. So stop comparing. And you know what? When you see people post online, because I do it, I love posting online. I'm the first person to say that. I post for my family, who I love so much, who doesn't always get to see us and who live far away, or my mother-in-law, my great aunt. Like, it's just, I love posting my family stuff because I feel connected with them that way. But you can't take a picture I share and go, oh, nothing's ever wrong with her, and you know, ship it apart because I edited those photos, or because that was a split moment and maybe I argued with my son to frickin' smile right before the photo was snapped. You have to be realistic in your social media expectations. I laughed the other night. We were doing gingerbread houses. Oh my gosh, I was cracking up because I absolutely obliterated mine. It was horrendous. It's still on my table because, of course, you know, we have to seize the moment and no life is perfect. So I'm like cracking up. My husband's snapping pictures in the most unflattering angles. He like did that weird zoom out thing, so my arms looked like little critters. Anyways, it was hilarious. And he was cracking me up. He's like taking pictures on his phone and I'm dying laughing. And he ended up sending me the photos, like he airdropped them. And I was sitting on the couch. And for a moment, I thought like, oh, I'm not going to share these because I was in my pajamas. I didn't brush my hair that day. We had redone our floors last week and they needed refinished. So we had spent the whole day getting all of our furniture back inside and getting everything put back together because honestly, I'm the crazy person that decided to take down all of our Halloween, all of our Christmas decorations, shove them out on my screen patio and repurpose our floors and then put all of our Christmas decorations back up. I don't know who does that. I don't know my timing. I should have done it when my living room was not full of decorations, but I did that. Anyways, long story short, I looked a whole hot mess and I almost thought to myself, oh, you know, I'm not going to post these. I look crazy. I was like, well, no, because I wanted my dad to see the photos, my mother-in-law to see the photos. I loved posting, you know, for my friends to see that love, you know, my family and who I love. And for a split second, I thought this is the realistic part of social media that I don't always get to share. And it excited me because I do own an online store and I'm constantly posting clothing and feel like it has to be perfect or, you know, nobody wants to buy from a bum. Like what? Nobody's going to buy my clothing if I'm wearing sweatpants all the time. And now I want you to show you an outfit that you should buy. Like that's weird. Anyways, so... But I posted them anyways. My long story short was I was excited to share that reality that, hey, I don't always, you know, have contacts in, or hey, I don't always do my hair. And on Sundays, I like to be lazy and have a good time with my family too. I think it's so important that you also share those moments too. And I don't get to do it very often because I am always just getting ready in the mornings. That's just part of my routine, unless I have high anxiety, which in that case, watch out world. Anyways, but... You know, the family-centric posts, they can evoke a sense of inclusion or loneliness for certain individuals who don't have that stuff, especially around this time of year. And really, social media's emphasis on family moments can make the feelings of, you know, isolation during the holiday season really come to life and really get in your face this time of year. And we have to remember that this doesn't last forever, and this really is a season for these intense feelings of not only joy, but sadness. A lot of sadness can come with the holidays. And that's why I really want to do these episodes as we lead up to the holidays. And, you know, I won't be releasing these. I want you to, if you have to go back and re-listen to these and remind yourself that the reality of the holiday is both happy and sad. But if you find the realness behind it, it doesn't have to be all those feelings all at once hitting you. And that's what I've been reminding myself. I've been singing my little songs. And when I feel that burn of anxiety in my heart and in my body and in my mind, I'm reminding myself, hey, like this is just a season. This is just right now. And you can do hard things. I can do hard things. I've been shown time and time again that I get through the other side and I have been successful 100% of my journey of moving forward. And I'm proud of that. So I really just want you to not criticize yourself so much. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. And as we navigate this season, being mindful of comparisons that are spurred by social media. Remember, the joy of holidays is the genuine moments and connections. And we're not striving for this unobtainable image. We just want happy moments. And I think that's what we all try to capture are the happy moments. And sometimes directly after or before, maybe there's a little bickering, or maybe they're not all the way happy. Or maybe we're like, oh, I don't really feel like taking a picture, but I'm going to love this, you know, in 2 years, maybe when that person's not here. So you want to do the pictures and you want to, you know, have the fun family traditions and things like that. But to not feel as though you're keeping up with somebody is 100% the point. You don't have to feel like you're keeping up with people. Do what feels natural to you and the moments you want to capture. And remember that you don't always have to capture a moment because somebody else did. Make sure you're authentic in what you are doing, because nobody wants somebody who's constantly two steps behind them copying every move and every moment and every thought because you've seen it was posted. That's weird. You know, that's weird. And I have so many people that I've noticed do that. And I find it strange because How exhausting would that be to constantly feel you have to keep up with somebody else? That is exhausting. And it's not real. It's not real, okay? So remember, we're striving for moments and connections, not unrealistic expectations. Embrace the uniqueness of your own experience this time of year, okay? So, all right, moving on. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. You know, I really should have done a couple of these episodes in two parts. I'm like trying to speak quickly, but also get my point across. I have so much I want to say and so many things that are being written in that I just want to address because it is so common and because so many of us are struggling and so many things are happening and social media amplifying these unrealistic standards is huge for individuals battling with this stuff. And we've talked about this before, and so many measure their worth with online images, and it's crazy that this is a problem, that we're not realizing that, hey, my life's not perfect, but I love that photo on my wall, and not going, oh, their life is perfect and they have that photo. No, it's the same, you know, it's the same. And the role of validation, and so many people seek validation through comments and likes on social media. And let me tell you something. You can get 2 likes, but 100 people seen it. I promise you that. And how many people, even I tell you all the time with these episodes, I have like 200 followers on our Instagram page and like 2 or 3 reviews, but I get thousands of messages, and I can see on my analytics how many people listen and who's listening where, and age ranges and genders and all these things. And I'm going, oh. So like, it doesn't matter the likes, the comments, the reviews, the shares, people are listening, people are watching you. And it doesn't make that photo any less beautiful if you get 2 likes on it. It doesn't make your business any less successful that certain people aren't going to respond to it, because maybe they're battling with an internal issue of supporting other people that has nothing to do with you. Okay, so let's talk about that. And becoming I always say social media is a double-edged sword for those battling with mental health, or even not. It's just a double-edged sword. It can make you feel great, but it can also make you feel just horrible and ugly and inadequate, and your house is a mess, and I'll never have picture perfect, and it's never going to be a certain way, but it's not real. I'm just going to say that a million times. It's an illusion, and this illusion of connection is a big problem too. We feel we don't have to make connections, genuine connections with people. You know, social media, I said, you know, like 30 million times this episode, and I apologize. But social media does. It promises connections, but for some, it can intensify those feelings of loneliness because you're not truly connecting. But how does the illusion of connection impact individuals dealing with anxiety and depression? And so many people I have thought this about, of, are these people that I see constantly connecting on Facebook in the comments, or you ever see that couple that you're like, you're married, you live together, why are you chatting in the comments? Like, what? I know he's home right now. What are you doing? Like, it's a superficial connection for themselves and for those friendships that you think are so tight. And they're like, oh no, we haven't hung out in like 5 years. I'm like, what? Like, you're constantly... oh, okay. Like, but I bet you would have hung out sooner if you didn't have the comment section to run to. You know, the superficial nature of these online connections, that's all I know how to call them, I guess, it leaves people feeling even lonelier, because as a human, we crave this connection of feeling and seeing people, and that crave remains lonely. And it's vital to distinguish between online interactions and meaningful interactions. And that's absolutely needed for your well-being, to understand that just because you see and are watching people connect and communicate and laugh online doesn't mean anything on the other end. I promise you, I took photos this week for my store, and the things I was feeling and thinking, you would never be able to see in those photos. It was awful. I was not feeling my best, and my mind is against me this week. So when I took those photos, I know I'll be always be able to look at those and go, that look in your eyes, Sarah, is not loving yourself. And I struggled, and I had to sing to myself that day, and I really had to work on those gratitude moments, and I really had to go outside and force myself to go for a drive to get out of my head. And as much as I wanted to completely let it overtake my body and listen to the sad songs and cry all day and not do anything productive, I allowed that for a moment, and I gave myself the timeline. I said, you know what, you're going to do this till 10 o'clock and then we're going to get up and we have to go do deliveries and we have to get out of the house and we promised A, B, and C, and it's time to get moving, because this won't cripple you. This isn't your everyday. This isn't your everyday, and you have to constantly remind yourself of that, even on social media. And with social media, even though it's an online thing, it needs boundaries as well. And we talk about that all the time. Establishing boundaries is not just for people. It's for devices. I know we all hear of screen time with our kids. Us as adults need screen time limits too. I need them. My whole life is screen. And when I tell you that I finally get a break from it, I am like, get that thing as far away from me as humanly possible. I need the break. And a lot of times when I'm doing work and I'm just scrolling my site, or I'm fixing something or coding something or adding something silly, I feel my anxiety amp up because I go, oh my gosh, I still have so much to type, do, go, places to, you know, whatever. And when I close the screen, when I close the computer, when I walk away, when there's silence in my home, I can breathe. I can actually breathe. I feel like my device sometimes takes my breath away. But we have to do that. We have to remember that you can have a positive online environment, but taking regular breaks is a must. Having those offline connections is super important. And if you have to have support, professional, friend, what have you, to have a solid foundation for your mental well-being, do that. Do that. I promise you, if you zoomed out again, if previous episodes, remember, zoom out of your life. If you zoom out of those online connections, you're going to see that they have an array of things around their life too that they struggle with. You're not alone in your struggles of feeling maybe inadequate sometimes. I laughed the other day because I love watching cleaning videos. I love it. A lot of us with anxiety and things like that, we love watching organization. It calms us. And I really do enjoy watching people clean and organize their kitchens. As strange as that sounds, it brings me like a sense of joy. So I came across a woman doing it, and it was I don't even want to say regular. I mean, it was a beautiful kitchen. But when I say regular, I think most of us knows what that means. Just basic kitchen. It wasn't, you know, floor to ceiling cabinets with a massive pantry and an island that could seat 20 of the Kardashians. It was a regular kitchen. And she's cleaning it, and I'm like looking, and I always go to the comments because I love seeing like linked items, and they'll link them there sometimes. And do I buy them? No. Do I vicariously add them to my Amazon cart? 100%. So as I go to the comments, the top comment, instead of it being a linked item, it said, wow, a regular kitchen. And I didn't notice that until they pointed it out. And I looked back up at the video. I'm like, oh, that is what people consider a regular kitchen, I guess. And it hit me that we're so used to seeing the beautiful, extravagant, 90% of us are not obtaining this kitchen that costs, you know, $200,000 in this multi-million dollar home, or, you know, whatnot, or these kids that are on these apps that are now, this is their expectation. So when they walk into a home that's a good price in their location of their town, and they see these quote unquote regular kitchens, it's not good enough. It's not beautiful enough. Those cabinets aren't white. The floorboards are, crown molding's strange, and things like that. And the floors, what do you mean? That's not natural hardwood flooring or tiling. What's the grout? And I hear people say the wildest things, which when I got a house, I'm like, okay, there's no holes in the roof and no stray cats in the bathroom. Okay, we're good. The expectations of the reality from social media has bled over into our children, and we have to be very aware that making sure our kids know the value of life and what it truly means is realistic. We have to practice reality with our kids. Stepping out of the screen and being in reality is real. This reality is real. That is a beautiful story. It's like watching a Disney movie with the princess and the prince, and women having to grow up and go, well, I don't need a man to save me. And I guess I, there are no princes, and there are red flags and narcissistic men and cheaters. And wait a minute, have I been lied to my whole life? So you don't want, that's our kids' new Disney is TikTok and the expectations of what they should and shouldn't have at young ages, and all of us parents going, no. You're 16. You get a 1989 Honda where the muffler's dragging. What do you mean you think you deserve a brand new Jeep? What's happening? But we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it because social media has skyrocketed within the last decade or so. So we're all right here in the realm of, and us adults are still being tricked. So why wouldn't our kids think that this is the reality, you know? So that's really so important, is I want you to really work on separating the reality from the dream, the Disney from the TikTok. Like, we have to do that, and we have to do that for ourselves so we know how to do it for our kids. So what are these actionable steps as we start this journey towards a healthier relationship with social media? Practical tips to implement this kickstart of a process, And I really would say, first and foremost, is consider like a social media audit, It's identify the accounts that maybe trigger negative emotions and either mute them, snooze them, unfollow them. But if you look at them and you don't feel good about yourself, those are the ones that have to go. Gradually reduce those sites, and also your screen time. Get specific periods of time that you can use social media and you should use social media, and prioritize the positive content. Get rid of those negative ones. So we have to do that, okay, you guys? We have to make sure that we know boundaries in our social media and what we have to do with them. Mornings are already rough, so why not make it easier with Javi? Javy. Javy Coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javy Coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javy Coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, Sara 43934 today. Javy Coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javy today. I think also a huge thing is, if you can, build a support system. I think, how can individuals, especially those of us with anxiety and depression, find people that understand this and find that empathy offline? And that's when those online friends do come in handy, is did you really create friendships and successful moments with these people online, even if it's text messaging, phone calls, FaceTime, or gatherings, if they're close enough? Reach out to those people and explain your intentions to create a healthy relationship with social media, online and offline, and encourage those conversations about mental health, and seek that support for those who understand and may face the same challenges as you. I think that's a really good step in taking that and making those boundaries. Of course, you know I'm going to say it. I know all of you are waiting for it because you all point out how much I talk about it. Mindfulness. Mindfulness practices. That's been my practicing 90% of this week. Okay. Mindfulness is such a powerful tool. So how can you incorporate that to help yourself navigate the, you know, the digital world more consciously? And I really would. I would bring mindful techniques into your daily routine along with your online presence. Practice being present in the moment, whether it's through meditation, deep breathing exercises, or just taking a moment to notice the world around you when your eyes are off a screen. What's around you? There's a whole world out there. Did you know there's still clouds in the sky? Look up. This whole thing, mindfulness really does it. It creates a sense of balance. You need that balance for your online stressors. I say like stressing. Is that a word? I think that's a word. So you really do. You have to create this healthy balance. If you're going to have a large online presence and that's a part of your life, your offline presence has to be just as strong, okay? Now, before we wrap up, I know I'm going to get this question because I myself, it's me. This is my whole thing. Let's address the big picture here. What if you work online and you're required to be on social media all day? It's a challenge so many of us face in this day and age. We can't just shut down. That's like saying, just in general for regular people, to get rid of your phone. Go back to, you know, sending your check in the mail, no more paying online. Go back to just having your landline and getting back to people when you get their message on your machine. Maybe pagers. Who knows? Let's bring those back. Pay phones, anyone? No. People who run a business online, is just as important for you to take a break as well. And so first, I would say, and I'm still working on this myself, establishing those boundaries, you know, setting the times for social media and all those things. But it's really hard. Even for me, my boutique is on every social media platform. So when I do one thing on one, I have to do it on all of them. And you get stuck on a couple, or you're constantly looking at your charts or your scores or your numbers, and you're tabbing and you're, you know, you're bringing it up and you're seeing how things are doing. You're sharing tips, you're supporting other businesses, and you're trying to make your online presence really large. But also, you're seeing other people's businesses. That's really hard. I've had to take a step away from that and realize just because her boutique has been open 20 years doesn't mean mine should look like that year one. They have beautiful storefronts. Guess what? I run mine out of my home. I don't have that storefront, nor do I have intentions on opening a physical store. That's never been my goal. So why am I comparing to somebody who has an online store? I myself am doing it, you guys. So it's huge. How do you currently manage your screen time? I really want you to send in your tips and tricks and share them with me of how we do that. Besides setting these boundaries and timelines and things like that, make sure that you're unfollowing accounts that can trigger negative feelings. Surround yourself with content that inspires you and makes your mental health a priority in itself. Okay? Embrace the mindfulness and really pay attention to your online work hours. Okay? Incorporate all the breathing exercises and moments of gratitude to center yourself. Make sure that around all that noise of online, that you keep your daily routine for yourself. Okay? Again, find people who are like you or who have businesses online like you or support online businesses and really understand how hard it is to constantly be on social medias to work. It's intense. It's an intense feeling. You feel like you're a pile of ants just climbing your way to the top, and you're trying to boost others to help them with you, but you're also exhausted, you know? So it's huge. So who are some people online that inspire you in a positive way? And shift your focus towards them, especially if you have to be online this holiday season and you work online and all your things are online. So many of you are social media influencers. So you have to come up with ideas of of your videos and creations. And, you know, so many brands rely on you for their product. So you feel a lot of pressure to make sure that you're selling it and you're doing your part. And if you're commission-based, oh my gosh, it feels like you have to be somebody else. But remember, that is the dream. Remember when you wake up in your reality that you're just as thankful for who you are on the inside, okay? So as we wrap up today's episode, remember that even if your work requires your online presence and your mental health is struggling, it remains top priority. Even if you are feeling okay, implement strategies that will help you prioritize your self-care this time of year. And especially this time of year, stop comparing and thinking that for some reason, just because that kitchen is from 2050, and you're still living in 2010 or 1990, it's okay, you guys. It's okay that your kitchen doesn't have that secret pull-out drawer that goes downstairs into a bunker because, oh my gosh, if a nuke hits tomorrow, I may not be prepared. Okay, I know we've all watched the movie on Netflix. We've all watched it. I'm not going to name it because I honestly would butcher it right now and I can't remember what it was. It has Julia Roberts in it. Everybody's been panicking and I'm like, what are we going to do anyways? Like what's the reality here, you guys? What are we going to do? So do your best to just be who you are in this life, in this reality. And it's okay to live vicariously on social media and love watching those cooking and kitchen cleaning videos. But remember that zooming the picture out, everybody has their struggles too, okay? Be mindful of your mental health always, of course, but especially right now. This time of year is really hard. And like I said, I myself am having my moment as well. So don't be shy. Write in. Ugh, I bit my tongue when I said that. Don't be shy. Write in to lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. Share this episode with anybody who needs help or possibly could need a break from social media. And just take care of yourself this time of year. Don't feel you have to compare to everybody online. Don't feel you have to get the best of the best for your kids or your spouse because so-and-so did it. Everybody knows that this year has been shit. This year has been hard. This year, we've all been working a billion hours a week and our paychecks are showing not enough. You know, everybody is in their own sense struggling. Okay? So be the ant that helps lift the other one to the top and continue loving yourself completely, no matter what your surroundings are, no matter what your circumstances are, you are always enough, always. And you're enough for people to treat you with respect, to love you, to love yourself, love your kids, and you're worthy of doing that for yourself. Okay? All right. I'll talk to you guys next week. Continue loving yourself completely. Write in, follow our Instagram page, leave the reviews. Jesus, you guys. I love you all so much. All right. Bye.